Man, it's been a good week for me. I have to tell you, I'm a little tired tonight. I'm kind of anxious to get home. And so I tell people don't get in front of my bumper when they say amen. You might get hurt. But I'm going to go home tonight and hope you get there sometime early morning. But I have so enjoyed being here, and I appreciate so much y'all letting me come. I always count it an honor to get to come up in this area and to meet people and to see people who just keep doing the same thing. The world comes at you from every direction, and yet you just keep plugging away. And that strengthens me and helps me. And so I'm always glad to be able to come and to be with people like you all. And I've had a great time being in Randy's home this week. I told him before I came to make sure he had some Prozac when I leave so he could try to get back on track, because I usually put people on edge when I'm here, and they have to have some nerve medicine to get straightened out when I'm gone. But I have enjoyed being with his family. And, of course, being around Dwayne and spending time with him. Spent some time one day with him and had a good time. Appreciate him. And I can tell you he's a good fella. And I know he's doing you all great service. And I only hope that you all can be like the Apostle Paul with those churches he worked with, and you can love and cherish him and hang on to him and let him encourage you as you encourage him, because that's what you're trying to do together. And so thank you so much for what you are doing. I only hope that you just keep doing it, and I hope that the Lord blesses you in the process. We're going to look tonight at the 8th chapter mainly. We're going to try to maybe skim across some of the 9th chapter if we get a chance. But I want you to think tonight about when you come to the crossroads of everything you do in life, there are decisions to be made all the time. Every day we make decisions. And really, this week, God has been appealing to you through these words. I've been the mouthpiece. You've heard my voice. But you were hearing the words of God. And so that says that when you hear what God says, something ought to happen to us. There ought to be some kind of a change. I've mentioned many times that not everybody wants the truth. And you know, sometimes when you come in here, and you can see people who sometimes come and they're not interested, they don't want to hear. I've told everywhere I go about a lady years ago in Madison that I studied with, and she came, I went to her house, and she had made some Mississippi mud, and she had that chocolate, gooey, marshmallowy stuff all in a dish, and we ate some of it, and finally she took her dish and set over in the sink, and I scooted my dish in the middle of the table, and I began to teach, and she got all engrossed in the study, and while she was sitting there looking at me, she just reached over without thinking and pulled my plate to her, and she picked my fork up and started licking on it and sucking on it. And so I was trying not to act like it was bothering me, but she could sense that something was wrong, and so she said, "Where's my plate?" I said, "Your plate's over in the sink." She said, "Where's my fork?" I said, "It's in the sink too." She said, "Where's your fork?" I said, "You're sucking on it, licking on it." She said, "Oh no." Well, she didn't want that. She didn't want to hear that truth. And she said, "Why didn't you tell me?" I said, "I didn't know. I thought you might wash your dishes different than my wife did." But you know, sometimes the truth is not comfortable. And it's painful. And you have to decide, what am I going to do? Am I going to do what God says? Or am I going to let myself just do what I want to do? And we all need to understand that we can understand the Bible. And tonight we're going to see that this wisdom is going to be personified. If wisdom were a person and were to come here into this room and walk in the midst of us, what would it be like? What would it do? If we were to become the friend of wisdom and determine we're going to learn and benefit and be what God wants us to be, how would that affect us? Listen to what the writer says about wisdom's call, first of all, in the crossroads of life. And notice here, this call is going out to everybody in every place. Have you thought about wisdom? It's always crying out to you everywhere. You can just see it all around you. It's always crying out for you to listen to what it's trying to tell you. It says, "Doth not wisdom cry?" Proverbs 8, verse 1. "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding putteth forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entering in of the city, at the coming in at the door. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men." And that literally is the sons of Adam. So notice here, the Bible is saying, listen, if you want to be wise, let me tell you something about it. Wisdom is calling out universally to everybody. Listen, God doesn't just want some of us to be wise. He wants all of us to be wise. He's trying to tell us what we need to know, and you can just live. You can look at the newspaper. You can read the television. I've told about years ago when I was a young boy. I remember one time a girl called me. They used to interview boys when girls would call you and ask you your favorite color and all that and what you were doing. And I knew she was going to ask me that. I was sitting watching Deputy Dog, a cartoon show. Well, I knew she was going to ask me, so I flipped the channel over to the news channel, you see. And while I was sitting there listening to her talk, I noticed on the news that there was a riot going on in some country. And I noticed all these young people running around grabbing televisions and running up down the street. And I got to look at that. I thought, you know, I don't see an old man in the crowd. And I thought, you know, maybe there's something to learn about that. And that is that many times rebellion and things that rise up come from young people who maybe haven't thought what they're doing. And so it just made me stop and think. As I saw that program, I don't know how old I was. I must have been 12 or 13. To think about being a young person and not living as a rebel in the world. And so here's a picture. And it's just as I saw on that news that night. And you can see it everywhere. You can see it through the friends you go to school with. I've told many stories about boys I went to school with and what's happening to some of them, even we in high school. Some of them were killed in our senior year. Some of them were crippled up. Some of them did all sorts of... Some of the young girls became with child in our senior year. And I just think about all the things. Wisdom was crying out to me all through my grandmother, through my grandparents. It cried out to me. And so here, the voice of wisdom is calling for everybody. A universal call. Now, you might be sitting here tonight, and you may have sat here every night and not paid a single bit of attention. A young person, and I've seen this over and over, when you're preaching, you can tell who's with you. You can tell when a child's not paying attention, when they're sitting there and their mind is a million miles away. They're not looking at their Bible. They don't look at you. And many times, the only time they look up is when everybody laughs and wonder what they missed. But you know, you can sit here and do that. And the Bible's saying you're at the crossroads right now of life. You need to say, listen, I'm going to pay attention tonight. I haven't got a thing all week, but I'm going to pay attention tonight. Because wisdom is crying out to you. And after the writer tells us about that and says that that's what we need to do, and you know, when you think about the fact that wisdom is going to show us here now where it came from and what some of its benefits and blessings are, and how that, you know, we need to understand that intellectualism is not enough in life. We're not talking here in the Bible about intellectualism. It's good to go to school. It's good to learn all you can learn and to be as smart as you can be. But the thing is, we should not think that intellectualism is all that we need. We need the wisdom of God. I'm sure you probably all heard the old story about these three fellas on an airplane, and they were going to crash, and there were only two parachutes and these three fellas. And so this one fella, they were trying to decide who would get the parachutes. And so this one fella said, well, listen, I deserve a parachute because I'm one of the smartest men in the world. And so he said, I should have a parachute. And so there was this hippie and this pilot trying to decide what to do. And so the hippie said, sure, go ahead. So the hippie gave this fella this bag, and he strapped it on and jumped out the plane. And the pilot said, well, now it's up to us. And the hippie said, no, we're fine. We're doing just fine. And the fellow said, well, we've only got one parachute. He said, no, the smartest man in the world just jumped out with my knapsack. Well, you see, being smart won't get you there. And I can tell you all kind of stories about people I've known in life who were smart, but they made terrible mistakes. And that's the way life is. That's why we need to listen to the wisdom of God. Now listen to what the writer says about how confusing life can be and how we need to... Why should we listen to wisdom? Verse 5 says, oh, ye simple ones... ye simple, understand wisdom, and fools, be you of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak excellent things. An opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain, that is, faultless, to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Now notice the writer's saying, here's what you need to understand about the principles we're reading about. These principles are not going to fail you. You're not going to find them to be twisted in some way. And when I tell you, when your life is over and you come to the end of everything and you stand before God in judgment, you know what you're going to find out? This is exactly the way it always was. And this is something that will not be outdated. It won't have to be changed. Have you thought about how, if you had graduated from Florence, the University of Florence, years ago, in 1492, among the highest learning of those days and men among those ages, you would have said that the world was flat. The world thought that. The world was educated and believed that. But now look at what we know today. You see, we need to understand that education is not what we're talking about. We're talking about listening to God. Children go to school. You watch children go to school. I see them every day standing at the bus stop with a backpack and all these books. They're standing sometime at the bus stop reading their books. And they go to classes and take notes and take paper. Now, why do they do that? They know there's a test coming. Let me tell you, you're taking the test every day today. You're not going to take the test on the judgment day. The judgment day is going to be the outcome of what you did every day at the crossroads of life. Whether you listen to God. Whether you realize that what God is trying to tell you is important. And I'm going to tell you, I hate to say this, but there are probably going to be some young people in here that are going to make a mess out of their lives. I hate to say it, some of you are probably going to go to prison. Some of you are probably going to make a mess with drugs or something else. You may have a child out of wedlock. And I have seen this because I've taught these things where I have been for a long time. And I've seen that happen to young people who sat in those classes and did not apply themselves and did not do, as we've already seen, try to learn, try to listen, try to make application, you see. It's so easy to get confused about the whole thing. I have a friend down in Tennessee who had an old cabin on his property. He went out one day, was kind of cleaning up around it, and he found two pennies in the fireplace. And so he got to rubbing on them and saw that the pennies were 1865. He went home and called a coin collecting office where they collect coins and said, "The lady, I've got some pennies here I want to know the worth of." And she said, "Well, what's the year?" He said, 1865. She said, "I'll give you $100 for both of them right now without even looking at them." And he said, "Well, I don't want to sell both of them." She said, "I'll give you $200 for one of them." He said, "Really? $200 for a penny?" And so he rushed over there to get excited, to get his $200. And he got the $200 and went home. And he was telling some people around that he had done that. And one old boy was a coin collector and heard that and said, "Are you serious?" He said, "That penny was worth $1,500. So he called the lady up and said, "Would you sell it?" She said, "That penny is never going to be for sale." But you see, he didn't know. He didn't think through. He didn't have the wisdom to see what was going on. And so, good people, we've got to wise up. We've got to see this is the truth. What God is saying is right. And this is the crossroads tonight we've come to decide, am I going to change? Am I going to have a different attitude? Or am I going to have the same old sorry attitude I've had? You know, you see young people having trouble with their parents, and you see how they talk to them disrespectful. And you can sense, you can see, you know that young person is headed for real trouble. And they come into the meeting house, and they sit, and they don't take any notes. They don't pay attention. They're not trying to learn. And as a result, you know where that child, and I have sat in Bible classes and could almost predict by watching the way children did while preaching was going on, while teaching was going on, that they were not interested. They were not trying to change their life. They didn't want to learn what God said. And the Bible's showing us this is the truth. You need to decide what you're going to do about that. Learn and listen to the truth. Have you ever thought about the old illustration about these mazes that used to, you start at a corner and you got to go all around and get into the center of this maze to get to the center? You know the best way to do that, young people? Always start at the end first and work your way out, and you'll find your way out that way. Well, that's the way life is. Start living your life thinking about the end of it. Your attitude right now, and what you're doing, how you think about God, how you think about church, and how you think about what you're doing. Think about, where is this going to take your life? Where are you going? Think about the end of it and work from that direction. Make decisions from that direction and your life will be different. Verse 10 says, "Receive my instruction, not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that thou mayest desire are not to be compared to it." Now you think about what you value in life. If I were to tell you tonight that I'm going to write you a check for $1,000 and give it to you tonight, or I'm going to open the top of your head and pour wisdom into it from the book of God and make you a wise person, which one would you rather have? It looks like the $1,000 would be the best way. But you will find out as time goes on, that is not the best way to live life. That is not the thing of value. You will lose. You'll waste probably that money if you don't have wisdom. And so the writer says there's nothing can be compared to wisdom. Wisdom dwells. Listen to who her companions are. Wisdom dwelleth with prudence and find out knowledge and witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogance, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. Now notice, here's a positive and a negative about the companions that dwell with wisdom. First of all, this information of knowledge and learning and witty inventions. The negative side is that it does not, it hates, don't you see, as what God hates. It hates evil, it hates pride and arrogance, it hates every the evil way and the forward mouth. Here's the things, if we're wise, we're going to hate that kind of a thing. We're going to be like the Lord, and we're going to hate those sorts of things. But notice also in verse 14, counsel is mine, sound wisdom, I am understanding. 15 times in these verses, wisdom tells us what she is. And 10 times we find what she will do for us. But listen, she says, counsel is mine, sound wisdom is mine, understanding, I am strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. Here's a picture of what makes great kings and what makes great empires. People who are wise, they make great rulers. And through wisdom, empires grow and become strong and solid. By me, princes, verse 16 says, rule. And nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Think about what would happen in the world if we had rulers and judges and kings and presidents who were wise in what God said. Think about what they would do. Think about what kind of statesmen we would have. Think about what great men we would have in politics. One fellow one time said, he said, I wish we could get an honest man to go to the poll and become a politician. And somebody else said, why do you want to ruin a good man? Why don't we go ahead and use the bums we've already got? Well, you know, I'll tell you, sometimes there are people, they get in those things and they become corrupted. But wouldn't it be great to think that every man we put in office would be a man of wisdom, a man who tried to do things right, to see things the way God sees it? That's what wisdom is, seeing things the way God sees them. He says, not only do kings and princes rule, but in verse 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Now notice, when does the Bible said we should put out the pursuit for wisdom? Not when you get to be old. I have so many times talked to young people and said, oh, when I get to be old like you, I'll change my life. Well, I'm going to tell you, some of those young people didn't make it. We need to see, young people, that this is something you ought to think about now while you're young. Change your mind while you're sitting on the seat tonight. If you're on the wrong road and you know it, you've got the wrong attitude, change it tonight. This is the crossroad. God is trying to tell you something. And you just think, no, I'm going to do what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. And so you just keep having trouble with your parents and other people and not applying yourself. Let me tell you, there's a disaster waiting for you. You're headed for trouble. Now, you don't think so. You think everything's just fine. And there have been 1,000 people go before you with the same kind of attitude. The writer says, riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. Now you think about durable riches. Something that really does endure. Something that really does make you rich. Something that lasts. Some riches are not very valuable. They're not worth much. But that's what generally people pursue. But here is durable riches. Something that is useful. Something is well worth having. He says in verse 19, my fruit is better than gold. Yea, than fine gold. My revenue than choice silver. I led in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to increase substance, and I will fill their treasures. So notice the writer helps us see all the blessings, all the benefits, who is with wisdom, what she will do to you. Listen, she will bless you if you'll listen. Become her friend and love her. She'll love you. And then in verse 22, notice what he says about where this source of wisdom has come from and where it began. In verse 22, the Lord possessed me in the beginning, in His ways before the works of old. I was set up from everlasting. Here's something that's eternal. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or even the earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water. So before there was ever a fountain of water running anywhere, wisdom was already there. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was, I was brought forth. While as yet He had not yet made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest place, a part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When He sent a compass upon the face of the deep, of the depth, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the foundations of the deep, when He gave to the sea His decrees and the waters should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the fountains of the earth, Then was I by him as one that brought him up, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable parts of the earth, and my delight was with the sons of men. Here wisdom is saying, listen, do you realize that I was there with God when God made everything? Have you noticed how when God made everything, God never had to go back and say, well, you know, I tell folks when I make something, I look at it a little bit and I got a big sledgehammer I take and I got to get out and beat on that a little bit and square that up and I got to hammer over this way and I've always got to adjust what I make. But when God made it, He made something and every day in it He said, it's good, it's good, it's good. And everything was good until He saw that man was alone. But everything God made was very good. That's the way God makes things. Why? Because wisdom. So what God is saying, listen, the tools that I use to design all this order, all the complexity of all you see, all that's in this is the wisdom of God. And we're just uncovering the wisdom of God when we study the universe. But God's saying, let me tell you, this wisdom that I use, I can give to you. And it can do something with your life. It can be good for your life. It can make your life good and be a blessing. And then He says in verse 32, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Now notice over and over, we're seeing your character and your life is going to be blessed or it's going to be cursed by whether you listen to what we're talking about. Hear instruction and be wise. Refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at his gate, waiting at the post of his doors, of my doors. For whosoever findeth me, now what have we seen over and over about this book? Findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. The Bible's saying, listen, this is so critical. This book we're reading is so critical that if you will study it and learn the principles, what you will find, good people, is you will find where life is. This is how to live. This is what will give you life and will bless you and enrich you in every way. You'll be happy. You'll find joy. You'll live. You'll really live, you see. This is really living. This is what destiny is all about. This book tells us about all of that. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. And what have we seen over and over? And they that hate me love death. So if you're sitting here tonight and you're not paying any attention and you haven't ever been excited about studying your Bible and your attitudes, you know you've got poor attitudes and you struggle with your parents and other people and all those things, what you need to realize is the Bible's saying those kind of things are the road that leads to death. And so don't keep sitting here and keep doing that, because you're going down a road, even though you don't see it and you can't sense it, it's a road that leads to death. But you can turn the corner. It's a crossroad tonight. You can turn the corner tonight. And you can turn in the direction where life is. You can begin to really live and begin to see what life is about and see what will make you happy. Now, in the ninth chapter, I'm just going to kind of skim through this chapter because I had to kind of put these two together to speed this up a little bit to get through all of it. But so what we've seen so far is that here's timely truth that's been given to us, verses 1 through 5. And really, it's tough truth because it tells us the way things really are. And not only that, but it's the treasure that the proverb writer tells us that God is trying to give to us. And verses 12 to 21, it's a trustworthy teacher when we listen to it. And it's the craftswoman of the world. She was there in the beginning when God made it all. God used wisdom to make everything that He made. And then we see that it is timely. These principles are timely. They will not be outdated. They'll never be in any way. Somebody have to come up and change them in some way. Have you thought about how every books that men write, how much they always have? Every year, have you thought about how books are always changing in school? You ever thought about that? Did you all know that since I've been in grade school, the earth has aged 2.5 billion years? Did you know that? The earth has aged 2.5 billion years since I was in grade school. Now think about that. You think how old I am. But you see, men are always changing because their information has always been wrong. The only way we know what is right is to listen to what God has to say. So listen to the cry now as wisdom cries out to people. And she's inviting young people to come in. Will you come in tonight to wisdom's house? Wisdom hath built her house. She hath hewed out her 7 pillars. That's just in those days, these houses had these large pillars in them that made it strong and stable. And so here's her house built with these 7 pillars. She hath killed her beast. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. So she's saying, come into my feast. Come in, sit at my table. Eat at my table. Come into wisdom's house and listen. She hath set forth her maidens, sent forth her maidens, and she crieth upon the high places of the city. Whoso is simple, and we say that just means somebody who likes experience, somebody who likes under, somebody who's naive, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come and eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live. Go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scoffer getteth to himself shame or dishonor. And he that rebuketh the wicked man getteth to himself a blot or insult or abuse. Reprove not a scoffer, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. So here's just a picture of the attitude. You see, you can sit in here and listen to this and listen to it and not gain anything at all. Or you can come in here and you can say, I want to be wise. I want to learn. And what can happen is you will learn. You'll get wiser. You begin to understand, see life better, see life properly. And you'll quit making a mess out of your life. And quit getting these attitudes. And I'm going to tell you, young people, the attitudes you develop as a young person, those attitudes are going to follow you a long way. It will be hard to change them. And that's what the devil knows. He wants you to get poor attitudes and a bad spirit as a young person. Because he knows once you get that set and that mindset, it's hard to change. Verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge and of holy and of the holy is understanding. We've seen that as the motto of Proverbs. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and thy years of thy life shall be increased. Notice over and over, the promise of life is always extended to people who listen to wisdom. If thou be wise, thou be wise to thyself. But if thou be a scoffer, thou shalt bear it alone. You see the point that's being made there? You're going to get what you deserve. If you determine to be wise and listen and respect your parents and listen to what they tell you and come to worship and worship God and sing praises and honor and respect God, that's the beginning of it. And what will happen is your life, you will be blessed, you will be wise, it will benefit you. But if you want to be a fool and you want to make fun of what God has said and fool around with it, let me tell you, you will bear that too. You will reap what you sow. It will catch up with you, you see. And so the writer finally shows that not only is wisdom calling for young people to come in, but here's the woman of foolishness in verse 13. The woman of folly, a foolish woman, clamoreth. She is simple and knoweth nothing. Notice she doesn't know anything. She's just loud and boisterous, shouting for people to come in. She sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city. She's out in the same place wisdom is to call passengers who go right on their ways. Who is simple? Let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Here's a lady that says, listen, don't dig your own well, and don't make your own provisions for your life, and eat these crust of bread. Here the woman of feast is saying, the woman of wisdom, come in, here's a feast for you. Here's where your life can really be rich. You can listen to things and learn and develop attitudes. Let me tell you, people will love you and your life will go well. But if you don't want that, you just go down there to the foolish woman's house and she'll tell you stolen water. Just get out and steal and make this on a crust of bread, and that's what you'll get at her house. There'll be nothing beneficial for you there. Verse 18 says, but he that knoweth, he knoweth not that death are there, and that the gates, all her guests are in the depths of hell. So you see, young people, it's a spiritual matter that we're talking about here. We're talking about how you live life and how it looks like life is physical. But let me tell you, life is not physical. You are a spiritual creature. You're really living in a spiritual arena. You're living in a world that God created. And so you need to look at your attitude. Look at your life. Look at what you're doing. Look at what's important to you. And realize you're at the crossroads tonight. We all come to those places where we've got to decide about something. I've told this story many times about my grandpa. I always knew that my grandpa liked my sister more than me, and I mean, I could understand that because she was a girl, and I thought that was just proper, you know. I could sense that about even my grandmother. I was telling somebody today or yesterday that my sister didn't like the crust of the bread, so my grandmother always cut the crust off of my sister's bread and told me that if you want to be strong, you must eat crust. And so I was a fellow who thought, well, my grandmother's telling me good, so I ate all the crust. And I got to where today I still like crust today. But I can remember my grandpa on Saturday, he would come to me and he said, now, Horsefly, I want you to choose here. You ought to go to Harry's store and get you a bar of candy. And he had a nickel in his hand and a dime in his hand. And I can remember so many times going up there, but he gave me first choice, and I would grab that big nickel and take it. And I always noticed my sister would start smiling. And I thought, why is she smiling? She's getting that little bitty old dime. And we'd go over to Harry's store, and we'd get a candy bar, and I'd get mine, and I'd go outside, and my sister would come out in a minute. And so we'd start down the road eating our candy bar, walking back to the farmhouse. And we'd get there, and by the time we got there, we'd eat our candy bar. And I noticed that in the evening time, out on the porch, my sister would be eating another candy bar. I thought, how is she doing that? I thought, where is she new to not let me see her get two candy bars? And I finally learned, and you think about this, young people, what if I were to tell you tonight that I'm going to give you a dime or a dollar? Which one would you choose? If I said, here's a dime and here's a dollar, which one would you choose? Well, you'd probably say, give me the dollar. What if I were to tell you the dime had 1776 stamped on it as a date? You see, we've got to be wise. We've got to open our ears, open our eyes. God is trying to tell us we've got to wise up. And I'm going to tell you right now, every night you come in here, every time you come through that door, matter of fact, every time you get up in the morning, you are at a crossroad about deciding whether you're going to listen to God or be stubborn. And we said, the simple person is somebody that just doesn't know. The scoffer is somebody who makes fun and doesn't see any seriousness in what God has said. And the fool is somebody that becomes so hardened that only a rod can beat his back to do him any good. Now, what kind of young person are you going to be? What kind of older people are you going to be? And can we see some of you older folks that maybe we didn't learn to receive correction and criticism when we were young? And so today when somebody criticizes us, we get our feelings hurt and get all upset. We should learn. That's the way life is. Learn to accept criticism. Learn to listen. Pay attention to what God has said. If you're here tonight, you need to respond to the gospel in any way. You know, Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 15, go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, now my question is this, Jesus, believeth what? He said, go preach the gospel. You know, in Colossians 3 and verse 2, the Bible says, or Colossians 2 and verse 3, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. Do you realize that all the treasures about life, the treasure house and the storehouse of treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden? Now, what's that mean? To just look at it on the surface, this doesn't look like this is what life is about. But this is exactly what life is about. Sitting and listening to the Word of God. And so, do you believe the gospel tonight? He that believeth, and then Jesus said, and is baptized, shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So you need to believe the gospel. And you need to be willing, when Romans 10 verses 9 and 10 says, to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. If you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved with the mouth. With the heart, man believes in righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. We must confess our allegiance to Jesus. And good people, we must repent. Jesus said in Luke 13:3 and in verse 5, except you repent. They were looking around at people that the Tower of Siloam had fell on, and people that Pilate had mingled their blood with the sacrifice. And they were thinking, oh, how terrible sinners those people must have been. Jesus, let me tell you something. Unless you repent, unless you change, you will perish, you see. We need to internalize what we read and what we understand from the Word of God. So if you're here tonight and you want to become a child of God, will you believe the gospel? Will you be willing to confess your allegiance to Jesus? Will you have a desire to repent, change your will, and do the will of God? Will you be baptized so you can be saved? Acts 2, verse 38, we're told to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Do you want to have remission of sins? You need to repent and be baptized. Do you want to find an answer to a good conscience? 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. The Bible says that baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh. We're not going to put soap suds in the baptistry and wash something off your flesh. There's going to be an answer to a good conscience given to you, because, good people, it's not going to be what happens in the water. It's going to be what happens in heaven in the mind of God. We've sinned against God. And when you go in the water grave of baptism, Colossians 2:12 says, God operates on you and cuts away the body of sin. And you're raised up with Christ to be a new creature. You want to be raised up tonight, have your sins removed, have remission of sins. Acts 22, verse 16, Saul of Tarsus was told by Ananias, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. You want your sins washed away tonight? You want to be clean and pure in the sight of God? And begin the journey of living a life where you'll be happy and find joy and peace of mind? You've got to do what God says. If you're here and need to respond anyway, why don't you come while we sing the song of encouragement.